Not much to say. It's a game that we should have won. And I told the guys, I'm sorry, I'm sick for them, because we did some really good things, but didn't make some winning plays at the end and give Baylor and Charlie Brewer, who I think is an unbelievable player, an unbelievable competitor, credit. They did make the plays at the end of the game to win, but we will win these type of games. And we need to win these type of games. You get these one score, four quarter games, we got to find a way to do it. And we're going to continue to learn, continue to grow from this.
K-State head football coach Chris Klieman, the Wildcats now have lost four in a row. I have a big game this weekend against Texas. And here to talk about it is Nick Lecky, former K-Stater, played in NFL as well. Always enjoy Nick and having him on the show. And he is with us right now. Nick, how you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm good, man. Just getting ready for another matchup, you know, Texas at K-State. So it'll be a fun one for sure. And I really liked how offensively they started running more downhill plays. You know, I think that really takes advantage of the size that K-State's offensive line has. And it you know, combines, you know, Deuce Vaughn's abilities. And I think that's a perfect combination. You need to get exploited a little bit more.
What do you think is the biggest reason for K-State's four-game losing streak right now?
Just confidence. I mean, just offensive. You know, you make some mistakes on offense here and there that kind of kill drives. You know, they're able to overcome it a bit. You know, it's tough that Will's, first pass was an interception versus Baylor on Saturday. So that was always difficult. But, I mean, you got a young quarterback, and, you know, Messingham's trying to figure out everything and trying to, you know, get the right plays going. And it just, you know, you run up against a really good Iowa State team. You know, they're peaking at the right time. You know, you go to take an L, West Virginia, and then, you know, you hold Okie State to only 20 points, but you just can't do enough on offense. And, you know, 20 of those points were from a fumble seven. So it's just one of those things where I think the defense has been strong all year, minus these past two games. We're just kind of a letdown from the offense, though, too.
And certainly it's tough. And we talk about how quarterback is so important at every level of football. And we certainly see it in the pros with Patrick Mahomes. And we see it in college. I mean, when Skylar Thompson went down, you know, and he could come back next year, and there's talk that he will come back, which it looks like that might be a good thing for Kansas State right now, but they got Rubley coming in. And Chris Klieman said some really nice things about Will Howard after the game this past weekend, and says, you know, he's going to be okay. But talk about how tough of a situation this is. I mean, I can't imagine being a freshman that steps in and has to be the center on the offensive line, you know, the leader of the line. I can't imagine having to step in as a true freshman and being a quarterback in a Power 5 conference. Talk about the pressure and the fact that you have to step into a situation like that. I'm sure that you could relate to that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you got a guy like Skylar, who's, you know, was in his fifth year, had a complete command of the offense, was looking great. All right, coaches knew what he could do, what he couldn't do. You know, he had already gone through those bumps and bruises in previous seasons, and he looked great. And then it's tough. You got a guy who was, you know, playing high school football this time last year, and now he's leading K-State, and it's a lot of pressure. And no quarterback. I mean, you look at the one exception. Tua and Trevor Lawrence, right, coming as true freshmen, mm-hmm. and high pressure and lead the way, you know, that's a rarity. And I feel that I think Klieman's message has been consistent throughout this, is that, you know, we're going to make some mistakes, but we're going to learn from those mistakes. We're going to get better. So I think the confidence is there. And I would have to point out that this number of transfers, right, entering the portal,
yeah.
10 or 12 guys, like, that's crazy. So no matter how focused you are, that still creates a bit of a distraction, and that kind of makes you sort of question things in your own mind. So it just, you can't let it be a distraction, but it's tough not to when your friends are like, oh, I'm leaving. And you're like, well, damn, what's wrong? And then, you know, it's like, well, now you're like, well, now this doesn't look as good. So just doubt in people's minds, right? And you just got to play through that and ignore it and just kind of focus on Saturdays, really. It's just a difficult situation.
How much stock, Nick, and we're talking Nick Lecky, he joins us today on the Sports Ticket, former K-Stater. How much stock should we put into this season because of some of the things you just said? And I'm not trying to make excuses But they do apply to virtually every program in America. Like, you know, I look at Nebraska and the Big Ten and how they screwed that whole thing up, and now they got a situation. They got a situation now where their best team might not even be eligible for their own conference title game, which makes absolutely no sense. So you've got issues there, and Nebraska, you know, they're 1-4, and people say they're not showing a lot of progress. Based on everything they had to go through the offseason, we've talked with Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats. We've talked with others around the K-State football program that, listen, there's times where they have kickers lining up as wide receivers in practice. And I mean, you just don't have your same guys together. I talked to Jeff Mitty, the K-State women's basketball coach, because I filled in on Sunday on the radio for them, and he said, we've had only 7 of our top 9 players have practiced together 4 times in the last 4 weeks. That's just from a basketball perspective. Jeez. So it's really hard to build continuity. It's hard to build that chemistry. And then on top of all that is what you just mentioned, is that it is a free year. It's a free year of eligibility. So if you don't like it, you decide, well, I'll transfer and I'll still have that year of eligibility, you know, and it does make it interesting to where it's almost like, well, you know, if it's not going my way, I'm just going to quit and I'm going to get into the transfer portal. And Wyatt was talking about that recently, is that makes things even more difficult. How much stock should we put, Nick Leckie, into this season, considering all of those variables?
You know, I think for one, so I would like to preface this by saying I'm probably top diehard bleed purple sort of guy, right? I never would have said that earlier, but I feel that my Saturdays now, obviously Chiefs are doing great. I watch Chelsea soccer, you know, in English Premier League, but K-State is that one team that I get upset over and yell at the TV and don't like watching it with other people. I watch it at my house. And when this whole season, like, you know, when it was up in the air, was going to be played or not played, I was kind of like, eh. So, and then when they lost to Arkansas State, I wasn't as devastated as I would have been in a normal year, because this is just, it's an odd year. So if Iowa State, you know, wins the Big 12, it's like, great, you know, you won a weird year. And so to me, this is, I hate to say it for, you know, the seniors and stuff, but, you know, they still get a free eligibility year. It's an off year. It's a truly one-off, a one-of-one sort of situation where it's like, you know, we get to learn, you know, you get to see how Will is, you get to see how everyone performs, and we can come back next year and do it again.
Should we cut coaches more of a break as well? And I know they're paid pretty well, but there's just no way that you, as a coach, and I'm seeing this at a high school level in basketball, where, you know, our local school has got 9 kids to practice basketball right now because 13 are quarantined, and those 9 are basically, half of them are freshmen. I mean, how do you even put together a practice routine, because you don't know who's really going to be there? I just can't imagine what that's like as a coach, and yet I see criticism, and you know how it is. Everybody talks about everything, play calling and this and that. Why'd we do that? But I know every single day coaches are holding their breath, like, are we going to play this weekend? Who's going to be available for me to play? And a lot of people don't fully understand from the outside looking in what this coaching staff is dealing with, do they?
No, they really don't, because, I mean, like, the average fan who's never played, you know, football past, you know, college or pros, you don't realize that if you're looking from pure wide receiver sets, right, you have these different packages, right, personnel. And you base your plays off of these personnel packages. And if you haven't, if a guy who hasn't run it all week, you know, you're kind of hesitant to run that play package, because you're like, well, this guy really didn't get snaps at X, and you know, I don't feel comfortable with him, you know, making the right read if the corner blitzes, you know, to what our audible is going to be. So you're sort of limited in that regards, where it's like, do I call this play knowing that 3 or 4 of these wide receivers haven't run it?
Yeah.
Or do I just do it, right? So, yeah, so you're limited in your playbook and your approach and everything like that. So, yeah, yes. So what I'm saying, basically, yeah, I do think, honestly, this year every coach should be given a break. Because, it's, like I said, my anger level is not that bad.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, with this 4-game last year, I could just dying for a 4-game moving streak. I would have been miserable. I would have been a miserable SOB. I would have been, but this year I'm like, whatever.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because I feel the same way. I'm happy to watch sports on the weekend, but I'm not as fully. I'm not about the only thing I'm fully invested in right now, sports wise, is the Chiefs. I can't fully get invested in anything else. And I think it helps that the Chiefs won the Super Bowl last year. That's probably why I'm more invested. But I just can't get into, like, even watching college basketball last night. I mean, no fans. There's no energy. I just can't get into it like I did. Are you hearing that from other people that you know as well?
You know, wait. I have not had this particular conversation regarding support level for team. I'm going to start polling more people. I'm going to ask them, you know, their thoughts and feelings. So I think this is an interesting question for all of us to kind of sit back and look at. Like, I think, honestly, if anything, you know, when you're concerned with your health and safety and you know, however, which way whether you're a COVID denier or you're a COVID or you accept it, right, or whatever, right. Find your own whatever, that's neither here nor there. But it's really made us go to focus and see what's sort of relevant. And it's kind of put sports into perspective as, you know, it's kind of bring you back to some normalcy and then kind of an escape. And so it has turned it to fully, for me, the entertainment factor.
Yeah.
Right? Where you're playing it, you're busting your butt, you're sacrificing your life, you want to win games, or not your life, but your social life to practice and play. So yeah, you're invested. But as fans, it's kind of like, yeah, this is fun. You know, and this is great. You know, it's kind of like I have a neutral feeling.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I feel the same way, absolutely. Nick Lecky, former K-Stater, our guest today here on the Sports Ticket. All right, so let's talk about the game coming up. Texas loses to Iowa State, a game they should have won. I laugh about how Texas is back and then they're not back. Every year we hear this. They're always overrated, and then, you know, they end up losing 3, 4, 5 games, whatever the case may be. I'm trying to see the motivation here for Texas, because if they had beaten Iowa State, they had been right there to get into the Big 12 title game. They blew that game. They lost. And now they come to Manhattan. And I think I've heard of a few players of Texas might opt out at this moment, which I think is just, you know what, if you've been in it this long.
What's the point?
Yeah. Exactly. You're basically saying, okay, I've got an out to quit on the team, but I can hide behind I'm opting out. That's ridiculous.
It is.
You know,
yeah,
so there's a problem, okay, isn't there? Like, isn't that a problem on a team?
Is.
Yeah.
There is. And I think, you know, like what you just said about players opting out, I think right now there's a culling going on within the K-State program. You're eliminating the people with bad attitudes who don't want to be there.
Yep.
So I feel like this is sort of a trial by fire, or like when you heat up gold to get rid of the impurities.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, like, I feel like with Klieman in charge, they're going to be right for next year. They're going to have guys who want to be in Manhattan, guys who want to play for Klieman, and guys who want to get the job done. So, like I said, so with Texas, yeah, I mean, that's almost stereotypical sort of Texas belief, right, where you're this 4 or 5-star recruit out of high school or JUCO, and then you go to Texas, and you're king of the world because you're at Texas, and it's football, and Texas football is a religion. And for them to opt out, it's kind of like perpetuates that stereotype of we're back. And then, oh, we're not back? Okay, I'm going to go hide. I'm going to quit. Like, that's the mentality from us outsiders perceive as
yes.
In Texas.
Yeah.
It is. And it's not a good look. Not a good look.
Everything's bigger in Texas, apparently.
Quitters
are too.
Yeah, exactly. I'm from there too, and I choose to live in Kansas. So, you know, what does that tell you, right?
I can connect the dots on that one. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, on the flip side, K-State has a lot to play for from the standpoint of, well, one, they want to break a losing streak. Two, they're going to be at home for their seniors that will not, you know, take advantage of that free year of eligibility and come back next year. Now, normally they'd be in a situation here where, boy, we better win so that we can be bowl eligible. But this year is weird, as we've talked about. There actually is no win requirement. So technically, K-State can go out and lose. Isn't that weird? I mean, K-State can go out and lose.
I didn't know that. Wait, yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. I'm living a one-day increment over here, and you got the whole thing mapped out. I love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So they could go out.
No.
Yeah. They could lose 60-0 Saturday. K-State could still go to a bowl game. But how important is it to play in a bowl game, and how important is it to get those extra practices? Because you look at some of these young players on the team, how valuable would that be going into next year?
I'll be straight up with you. I hated bowl prep with all my heart. It was equivalent to spring ball. but like, to me, I felt like those Texas players, right, where I was like, crap, well, we're not in the national championship game. This sucks, you know, whatever. Or maybe we're just in the BCS, so this sucks. But obviously you do it. You want to practice it. And it's crucial. I think it's crucial for long-term or the program for coaches to evaluate young talent, right? Because, you know, during bowl prep, you get those extra practices in Manhattan. Is, you know, it's sort of where it's like, you know, hey, as seniors, we're gonna sit you out, you know, a few practices. We're going to let the freshmen, sophomores, and juniors step up and play. And it's sort of like how you develop your game plan for spring ball and then for the year after. It's based off the talent that you have, and you get those people together. And so it's super helpful. It does help the program. It really does. But obviously, as a player, you're short-sighted. You know, you're 18 to 22 years old, so you just want to be hanging out with your buddies back home, doing nothing, right? Up to no good type stuff. But it's crucial to get that bowl game. I mean, you get to have another bowl, a bowl game. So you get gifts now, and all the gifts are sweet. Mm-hmm. But it's crucial for the program.
All right, let's turn our attention to the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the team I'm fully invested in, and what they have done this year. Chiefs fans are spoiled, man. Chiefs fans are completely spoiled now, and we see the spectacular, and we just go, ho-hum, that's just what the Chiefs do. The Chiefs go 3-and-out a couple times, and then you're like, oh, my gosh, what's wrong with the offense? What they did in the first half against the Buccaneers was ridiculous, and yet the Buccaneers had a chance towards the end, if they get the ball back, to tie or even win the game. What's your biggest concern? Because there's obviously strengths to a team that's 10-1 right now, but what's your biggest concern with the Chiefs moving forward into the final five games of the year?
I think, to me, and I'll shamelessly plug, I do a podcast with BJ Kissel. It's called Outside the Trenches, so check it out wherever you check out your podcast stuff.
Rock on.
So when we talk about it every week, and to me, being a former offensive lineman, and I think there needs to be a little bit more of a run game established. Like, I think the first couple weeks, like, don't get me wrong, I'm totally nitpicking, right? Like, right. I mean, they're playing well together. They're getting wins. You know, offense steps up when they need to. Defense steps up when they need to. I would like to see a little bit more of a run threat, because I think teams are seeing that. And honestly, you do not have to rely on the run anymore. I think that NFL offenses have evolved beyond the run, right? Where it doesn't really make a difference if you're a top three, top five run rushing yard team. You know, winning games is through the air now. And so, but you do have to have something where defenses can't just pin their ears back and say, we know they're going to pass it, we're going to go all out, we're going to sell out because we're not really concerned about the run game. You have to have an element of a threat to the run game. And they're starting to with Le'Veon Bell and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I feel like they need to develop that just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Like I said, I'm nitpicking.
Right.
Because if offense clicks. And if, you know, if he catches that McCole Hardman, if he doesn't throw behind him or McCole catches it,
yeah,
you know, that it's a blowout.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you don't have the strip sack earlier in the game. That's probably a blowout too.
Yep.
And that
exactly.
and let's talk about the offensive line, because that's certainly an area, of course, you know very well. Played in the NFL on the offensive line for the Cardinals, the Rams, and the Saints. Nick Galecki, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, is that, and I was talking with Matthew Derrick of Chiefs Digest with us, he was on yesterday, about, I think some people overlooked this with the offensive line. Tardif opted out. Niang was a third-round pick who maybe would have started left guard. He opted out. Osimile they bring in, and he looked great the first couple of games. He blew out his knees, so now they're really on their third guard, which Allegretti hadn't played hardly at all last year. He's a second-year player. Schwartz goes down with the back. He's still not back. You got Rimmers, who's basically, you know, a guy that can play multiple positions, swing guard, swing tackle, but not really a guy that you'd think is a starter on a team like this. And despite all that, Nick, the offensive line, yeah, they've had their struggles. But yet at the same time, you know, in the first half when the Chiefs were going up and down the field, and I know Mahomes is throwing the ball fairly quickly at times, but when you take deep shots at Tyreek Hill, that means your offensive line's holding up. And I think that's something that we overlook sometimes is, well, all of a sudden Mahomes gets hit. Oh, the offensive line's horrible. And considering all the guys that should be there that aren't there, I think they're doing a pretty dang good job.
They have, and you know, it's funny, like, when you line it up, people always fail to mention that Niang opted out, LDT opted out, you know, you lost Osemele, and so you're down three offensive linemen, two critical, and one that could have been critical with Niang. And so, like, people don't give, Brett Veach and company a lot of credit for sort of reloading and having the personnel to reload, but honestly, I think that the Chiefs' offensive line, what good offensive lines do is they play well next to each other. And
oh, are you there? There you go.
Is that when you're not playing well, like, together, that you get mismatches and, you know, you're off kilter. I think that's what happened versus Tampa Bay is that, you know, you have Allegretti on some places trying to short set, and, you know, sometimes, and then you know, Rimmers is on an island, and, you know, same or Wiley. And so it's just something that they just got to clean up, where they just got to stay on the same level. And I think that they'll be much better. But then credit to Tampa. I mean, that's the top O-line, top D-line in the NFL now, I believe. I truly believe that.
Yeah, I thought they held in there pretty well. All right, time for the off-the-wall question for Nick Lecky. Nick Lecky is our guest here today on the Sports Ticket. Nick, let's see. How old are you, Nick?
I'm 38.
Okay, this is perfect. Britney Spears, it's her birthday today. She's turning 39. Our sports director, he kind of hides it, I think, but we've kind of revealed that he's a Britney Spears fan. If he's listening right now, he's going to give me the evil look and probably the bird. And you know, he walks down the hallway when he hears "Oops, I Did It Again," he starts to hum that thing. So my question to you, Nick Lecky, is what is the what's Nick Lecky's guilty song pleasure? So what is a song?
Toxic.
What is it?
Okay, so if it's Britney Spears related, I'd say Toxic.
Okay.
And I think there's like a, I don't think it's screamo, but it's like a metal band. I think it's called Static Lullaby. They're like, obviously, a name like that, right? It's kind of a heavy, like a scream, like a...
Right.
They did a cover of Toxic, and it was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. And then another guilty pleasure, I would say, like, my ultimate guilty pleasure, if you look at me, you know, O-lineman, 6'3", I'm 280 right now, 305. Hesha's TikTok is my all-time favorite cheesy... just terrible pop sugar song, but Kesha's TikTok. I can hear that song, and that's my hype song.
I'm going to check that out, man. I'm going to check this stuff out as soon as I get off the air with you.
You know what song I'm talking about? It's that "Wake Up in the Morning Feeling Like D. Diddy." You know that song.
Okay.
That song,
all right. I like that song. It. All right. That's catchy.
Yeah, it's my guilty pleasure.
I got you. I got you.
Do you have Disney Plus, right? Do you have Disney Plus?
I do not have Disney Plus, no. No.
Okay, so actually I got kids, got a 9-year-old and 7-year-old, we do, and we have Disney Plus, and so last night I was on there, and I saw that Taylor Swift did a little, it's not a concert, but it's almost like, you know, where they're like in this cabin in Long Pond, New York, and they did studio sessions.
Oh, I think I saw this.
And yeah, and she partnered up with the cat from The National, the lead singer for Bon Iver, and some other guys, and oh my God, just glorious. Like, I'm a big sucker for alternative music. I love, you know, indie music, and I love, like, you know, like obscure music. And they made music, and it was glorious. It was absolutely glorious. Like, she has the best voice of our generation, Taylor Swift. On Britney Spears' birthday.
The song that I got stuck with there for a while, since you mentioned Disney Plus, is off of Frozen, "Let It Go, Let It Go." That song got stuck in my head for a very long time. And by the way, I've got another quick off the wall for you, because I just realized
I love off the walls. I love off the
okay,
walls.
Okay, cool. I got one more for you. So when we were talking earlier, you threw in something about gold and impurities, and I'm like, how does Nick Lecky know that? Does he have his own personal stash of gold hidden somewhere where he can try all this? Because I don't know what the bleep you're talking about when you're talking about gold, because I sure as hell don't have any.
So, you know the term pure gold? Right?
Yep.
It's just pure gold, right? So gold has impurities in it, right? It's a rock. It's mined from the earth. So there's, you know, there's quartz, limestone, all types of different stuff within gold. And what they do is they melt it, right? So you see, you know, those you ever seen movies where they melt gold?
Yes.
It's got to go through, like, the furnace and all the little things. So you heat up gold high enough, and it melts out all the impurities, and all you're left with is pure gold. So that sort of, like, comparison was that you're essentially getting rid of, or not getting rid of, you're allowing those who don't wish to be there to leave.
Right.
And I think that's what you do. So right now, K-State's in that process of getting rid of all those the bad energy, if you will, bad juju, bad vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, okay, we're out. So next year they're going to come back stronger with a more cohesive unit that is more dedicated, and it's everyone who wants to be there. So your energy, your positive mental attitude is going to be a lot better, and everyone's going to be bought in next year. Because they're like, hey, we had a chance to go, but we're here, and we're going to do it, and we're going to do it right.
So what you're saying, what you're saying to me is next year's K-State football team is going to be pure gold.
Bet, go all in.
Boom.
Go all in for next year.
I love
it. Go all in for next year.
I love it. All right, man, let everybody know how they can follow you, the podcast, how they can follow you on Twitter, if they want to make fun of the fact that you, you know, purify gold and you love Taylor Swift and all that stuff.
I'm just a big dork, man, for real. And I'm just a big dork, so... I'm lucky I have football, and I was big, so I didn't get stuffed in lockers. So. But no, you can follow me on Twitter at Mr. Lecky, and it's comical, and I welcome all comers, and I'm open to any viewpoints and everything like that. And just treat each other kindly. It's my motto, I guess, right? You know, have respect for each other. We don't know what's going on behind our lives and everything like that. And then our podcast is wherever you find podcasts at, and it's Outside Trenches. I do it with BJ Kissel. He's at Let It Fly BJ. So give it a shout out. At me at Twitter, you know, like I said, I love random questions and anything like that. So nothing's taboo or off topic as well.
Nick, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. We appreciate the time, and we'll let you get back to purifying gold, and we'll talk to you again down the line. All right, man?
Appreciate it, Wade. I'm always happy to come on. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Take care. Nick Lecky, our guest today on The Sports Ticket.